Keys. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Live and in living color, coming to you from Tournament de Pizza. Two things first and foremost to get out of the way. One more important than the other, I guess. Shocking news earlier today. Former Buccaneer Steve White passes away. We're going to talk about that in detail at the bottom of the hour with our a pretty big namer coming in from the 0-2 Super Bowl team. So I'm looking forward to that. And very sad that I'm announcing our co-host is back.
Well, I never left. I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere.
You're the co-co.
Like, literally, I haven't left this area.
What's the chance? What is the chance that Matt survives the next 2 hours?
It's going to be tough. This mic's going to get shut off pretty quick.
Been fired three or four times live. It could be five or six after
I'm immune to that at this point.
Welcome back. I'm sorry to have you back, but I love having you back.
It's good to be back.
You know, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Good to be back, guys. Missed you guys.
We missed you as well. Trust me. The show missed you a great deal.
Easy. I can hear you.
That's the point. Let's get it out of the way. You were gone a couple weeks up in New York, and what was that like? And it sucks that you're back.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Had two great games, played well. It's good to, you know, dust off the cobwebs, get back out there, get some good tape out, and, you know, it's part of the business. You know, it goes through the cycle, and we'll see what comes next.
You know, I was talking to somebody earlier about it, and, you know, we talk about fans all the time, and fans don't get it, and fans don't understand, and fans see Tom Brady playing for his 33rd year, mm-hmm. or Warren Sapp, you know, playing for his 18th year. I mean, that's few and far between.
Yeah,
you know, it's guys that don't get past two, that don't get past three, and now you're in your seventh?
Seventh, man.
And this is the business. Now you're at that level with your age, with your salary, that a lot of teams want to go younger. Yeah. I can't believe at your age they want to go younger.
Yeah, they want to go cheaper. You know, it's expensive to keep guys at my age around, and so you have to kind of do a little bit more, go a little bit above and beyond, and prove your worth more so than most the younger guys do.
I remember vividly, I was playing basketball back in the day with an offensive lineman, ironically, mm-hmm. and we started to, you know, we're playing the game, and matter of fact, you know, I used to play a lot with Steve White and those guys as well. So he calls me over, he goes, hey, I want to tell you something. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he goes, I'm going to get released tomorrow. I go, what do you mean you're going to get released tomorrow? He goes, yeah, I make too much money.
Yeah.
Now, you know me well enough. I don't look at money. I have no idea. I don't care. And I didn't know that. Even in what I do, I didn't look at that as something I then didn't look at. Money is just as important. What you're making is just as important as how your play on the field is.
Yeah. My third year, there was a guy that we had on the team that was making quite a bit of money. And I played really well my second year. And they said, hey, Caleb can do this for a fraction of the price. And in the offseason, to the surprise of everybody, you know, they let him go and put me in there. And so it's like, for me, it's like I saw it from then, and you just kind of understand the business, and you know that's how it goes. And you just keep going, man, because you love it. You love playing. You love being around the guys. And, like, that's the best part of it, the guys. Like, the locker room, the interactions, going out there on the field. Like, that's a lot of fun.
I would always ask on the player show, you know, when a player would come out, it's his first year on the team, and I would always ask, is it like going to a new school? Is it like starting over? So what is it like? You know, you're going up there, you're trying out, they sign you to a deal up in New York. Mm-hmm. What's it like walking in there day one, week two?
For me now, because I'm a vet and I've been in the league and played a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys on teams that I go into knowing. So I went there and knew 7-8 guys already. Some guys I played against for years, and some guys I've been friends with from college or whatever it is. And so it's not that big of a transition. You know, guys mm-hmm. kind of know of you. They're like, oh, I remember you playing for the Bucks and this team. And, you know, so you kind of have common ground. It's more different when you're young and you're a rookie and everything is new to you. Now for me, it's just like, oh, hey, like, I know you from that school.
Well,
you know,
plus, back in the day, people didn't, like, you know, with free agency now, like, they didn't change teams every year, every season, mid-season. It's like, you got drafted, you stay with that team until, you know, you retired, essentially.
The Raiders just let go of their draft pick from last year. Yeah. Sean from last year.
How about that?
Right.
So, like, so, the NFL now, the changeover is like this. Everybody's right. Like, they want to win now, they want to succeed now, so it's crazy.
But okay, enough with asking questions. You're now the co-host again.
Oh, my God.
You know, that was your 3 minutes of I need to ask a couple questions.
Still hear you.
I need to ask you,
oh, good.
Chuckles. Right. What have you heard? Is there any update on Reggie Barnett Jr.?
He's found safe.
Did he?
Yeah, okay. He's still. I mean, so I don't know who put out the missing, you know, poster. I don't even know how that works. I mean, how long before you can go missing, you know, before, like, everybody reports?
From my extensive research of cops, I think it's like 36 hours or 48 hours.
Something and anybody like can report somebody missing. So if I say Randy's missing, like, and I can just...
And they're like, have you seen him for the last... 30, whatever, whatever.
Every 36 hours, I can report him gone. Let's put it
six,
out there.
Hold on. Six times 24. I'm trying to see how much time... Like, I don't see him after, like, Wednesday. We're done at 4 Eastern. I'm out of here after my free pizza at 4:15. and I don't see him again for a week until I come back on Wednesday.
So tomorrow afternoon... There'll be a silver alert for Randy Harris driving a Mazda.
I've got a friend. I've got a friend over there that hopefully I can get him to turn
Look,
on.
I got a friend too. He's a ninja. I got my Nigerian ninja and I got my other ninja. I got ninjas everywhere.
You missed that one.
No, I caught it. No, believe me, I caught it.
With Mac Roche in the house, American Ninja Warrior, King of Obstacles, coming by to drop in, say hello. So we got a star-studded event today.
As long as we could get rid of you, everything would be perfect.
I'm a professional athlete as well. Like, these guys get paid to perform, so do I.
Yeah, whatever. Hold on, let me turn your mic off. No, you're off.
Employed right now.
Wow. I got a job here.
All right.
Me too. And welcome to the network, Mac Roche.
What's up, Matt?
The ninja's here.
The ninja's here.
Ninja's everywhere.
Watch the show probably 5 nights a week. You know, we watch it all of the time. Do you have a ninja gym? I know, obviously, looking at you, you have a gym. But is it a ninja gym, or is it a gym like his cheesy thing in the garage?
Yeah, I got my own cheesy thing, but there are the best.
Badass.
There are the best in the country over here in Florida. We got some of the best ninjas down here in the South.
Really?
Yeah, there's actually 4 guys that made it to the final stage. Not a single one won $1 million. But
the one from last night?
Yep. 4 people. One of them's from Orlando, only an hour from us.
All the young kids.
Yeah, they are. They're all about 135 pounds, every single one of them. I think they need a taller body type like me, like the original winner was a tall, lengthy rock climber, an older guy. I think they got to develop that. They're young. They got the testosterone, the energy, but they don't have the experience and that endurance that they really need.
And that muscle maturity, the muscle density.
Have you seen
the
American Ninja Warrior?
Heck yeah. So how many... Before we see the televised product, is there like prelims that you have to go through? How do they pick who gets on TV?
It is, that's like hitting the lottery, getting on that show.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. There's application after application in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands that they are narrowing down to their specifications.
All right. I'm old. I'm fat. I'm out of shape. All that stuff. So I just want to say all that up front.
Facts.
But no, I'm asking a question, you know, about what you just said. If you have to go through all of that, and yes, they're much more everything than me. How do they fall on the first obstacle? You would think they'd get past the first obstacle, right? And I'm not trying to downgrade anybody. I'm just saying everything that goes into it and you miss the rope.
I believe they have created a show that they have a percentage that they need to fail and the percentage that they need to succeed. And the percentage that they want to fail is a lot bigger than they succeed. That's why you don't see too many winners on that show.
It's got to be relatable.
When were you on? Are you still on?
I started 6 years ago.
Wow.
Been there 3 times now.
What was your favorite obstacle?
The warped wall. The very end. You got to run up and use your explosive leg power, and then you got to grab the top and then hit that buzzer.
The $10,000 wall or the one on the left?
I haven't done the big one
really?
Yet. I haven't got to that point. I was one obstacle away this season, though. Very close.
You know, I always ask the guys, whether it's the fighters or the football players, you know, what are you thinking? Or are you just kind of, you know, moving on muscle memory? What are you thinking as ding, 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 and you take off?
It's unique every time. You only get one chance a year to do it. One shot.
That's the killer of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never watched that show and thought I could do this. Not one time. I'd fall off. When the balls, when you have to run across those, no.
Yeah. Well, those 6'6", 330 guys.
The half inch.
I've never watched that and been like, I'm going to get this.
The salmon ladder, like,
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see you do that. Not that I could do it, but I want to see you do that.
The core strength and the upper body strength to hold on to things and swing across. People don't know how hard that is.
Caleb would get up on that thing. He'd grab the bar, and literally on TV, the bar would start to bend.
Probably.
Now, I know it's going to break your heart, Randy, but I've been to Max Ninja Course. It's out in the farmland. I all say where he lives, but he has an amazing setup in a barn, old school weights and like big logs, and like, I mean, it's old school, rustic, amazing. And for the record, I beat the Ninja Warrior at his own course. Like, I was right.
The Exathlon throws.
Your boy.
Right, I don't believe
your co-host, the champion, knocking out ninjas.
Hold on a second. First of all, I don't believe you. Second of all, you're not the co-host.
We have a video.
And third, I don't know him well enough to know that he wouldn't lie for you.
Well, I do give him free pizza.
Have you ever tried parkour, and do you think that would help something like that?
Yeah, I was in Mexico, and some of the best parkour guys there wanted to teach me some things, and it takes a lot of patience, and it's not my forte. It's more of an artwork and a
– yeah.
More of like trying to use less energy. Me, I like to just use everything I got.
Yeah.
You know, and shout out to Ninja Warrior for shouting me out as the biggest, largest Ninja Warrior they've ever had.
Awesome.
I would say you were saying strength for a guy like your size, but it really comes down to grip endurance, not strength, because World's Strongest Man aren't on that show.
For sure.
But how long can you hang?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm curious, how much time do you get? Like, do you get to know which obstacles are on? Because a lot of times you're watching TV and they're like, you know, the first one tonight. Now, do they know it?
We get one walkthrough together. We all get to raise our hand and ask the questions. And there's some people that are picky and other people are like, come on, let's move it on. Let's keep going.
But you're able to stand there and watch, or you're not even allowed to watch?
There is one tester, they called it. It's like, all right, watch this demonstration. Here's a guy, here's a girl doing it. You know, you got two different body types. Just kind of see what happens.
That's gonna be tough.
Yeah, dude. That's,
and then you factor in the nerves. Like, that's how people miss the rope initially. Like, you know, they say go, and you just have to perform under the lights. I mean,
why is it always cold?
What do you mean?
Well, when you're watching it, it seems like it's always cold. Everybody's always in jackets. It's always like, is it not always cold?
Well, I guess it's indoors now, so maybe it is colder. But I'm not that cold when I'm thinking about competing.
And you're also from Florida, so everything is relative. Like, anything filmed north of here would have jackets.
North of Tampa.
It was in San Antonio for me, so we didn't deal with any cold. But we were in the Alamo Dome, which was air-conditioned.
Right.
So talk about the Dominican Republic series. It's the premise behind it. It's kind of like Road Rules meets Ninja
Warrior.
They
took the two most popular shows with the highest ratings on TV and combined them, which was Survivor and Ninja Warrior.
Oh, wow.
So they came up with Exathlon, which is a combination of both.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a really, really big order on an athlete, because in Survivor, they take away your food.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to survive on very little. But now, not only do they take away your food, they're putting you through intense competition where you need to perform at your maximum capacity with very little food.
Is it a one-day thing? Is it over the course of a period?
It's the longest thing I've ever been involved on a TV. It takes up 3 months. One of the last seasons that I left out of an injury was 8 months long.
Wow.
Every single day competing, one day off.
And always in like a caloric deficit? Like always like little food, minimal food?
It's getting
food?
Better, but it's been pretty rough. We as athletes, you know, had enough of that, and we fought back. And we're like, you can't expect us to do our best on this little.
Yeah.
Now, like, I know you're young. I know you probably don't remember this, but when the original Survivor came out, Randy here did an audition for the original Survivor, and his video audition included a guy named Randy, who was also known as the Macho Man, Randy Savage. So your dad was a wrestler. Sure. He wrestled with Hogan and all those guys. But Randy's audition tape, which he still has, which still circulates on Facebook.
I still send it in to Eric.
And, so he is I
would leave this show this second. If I got a phone call that said, if you get on a plane right now, You're on Survivor, and you could never do radio again. I would take all of my equipment. I'd hand it to Caleb because he can't have it. And I would go win Survivor. There's no doubt in my mind.
There's a lot of Survivor shows coming out now. They're all coming out and for you to get on because they need people.
So the first one we're going to see if we can survive the silver alert that I put in.
There is no doubt that I could win that.
If he survives that, we're going.
Now, I would want Matt to go with me, and there's a reason for it. Well, there's a reason for it. And this almost happened, that I said we almost broke down driving through the Everglades.
We did.
Because he's an idiot. But so we almost broke down, and I said, I'll be fine because I'll just eat him. So I want to bring him. He'll die of, you know, no food, and then I'll just eat parts of his body,
and then
arm,
but then I informed
that's not
him
inked.
That I thought he would get ink poisoning because this is.
I would leave right now to go be on Survivor.
Between our connections, we can make this happen. Like,
yeah, you're talking
this
to
show
the right people right
yeah
now.
Like,
well, honestly, I thought I was talking to the right person before. Eric Van Wagen, he's like his brother's the producer, and he produced the boxing one. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, send me the video again. We'll take a look. I did. I never heard from him. Set it up.
This show
is coming to an end.
There's some questions they're going to ask you. And there's some tough questions. I was just in the interview process, and some of the questions really threw me off.
All right, let's hit a break. I'm going to tell you during the break how my former co-host, one of my favorite co-hosts, answered the question and automatically got on the show. She skipped.
That's what it is.
She skipped. Where do you hear the question? And her
answer, yes.
Her answer got her directly onto the show.
I know that's why I'm not there now, but my buddy from Tampa native, he's out there right now. He made it.
Let's hit a break. This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Larry Boeft, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Lomas Brown, and you're talking sports with Randy, the Monster Jam Man.
We're back hanging out here at Tournament to Pizza.
Lomas Brown, Detroit legend.
That's your favorite UFC, UFC fighters theme song right there.
Who?
Punk.
Oh, yeah. Phil Brooks. Yeah. I saw somewhere that he was whining again and complaining at AEW that he wasn't getting his way.
Yeah.
It's kind of his MO, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But hey, you know.
It's better to complain than the other Phil Baroni that's got a warrant out for his arrest. See that pop up on
You better be careful. He'll come find you first.
Okay. Well, I'm here. I'm
the biggest. Anywhere. All right. So Bret Hart was involved in. And hopefully you can say this on FCC radio because it's what it's called. Bret Hart was involved in the biggest screw job in WWF history, correct? Okay. Phil Baroni was involved in the biggest screw job in the history of the UFC, bar none.
Okay.
And you're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No. I have no clue.
Okay. So this is what happened. I believe it was in Connecticut. I remember it vividly, just I don't remember where we were. If it was Connecticut, I brought another ex-Buccaneer offensive lineman who didn't make it to our comped dinner in time. Mm. So what did I do?
Took food back.
No, I ordered two and I ate both plates.
That's why you don't have any friends.
What, are you kidding me? So now I don't remember which order this was. So, you know, when all those people out there are going to jump on me because I'm doing it backwards, I don't remember which it was. So the referee, and it'll come to me in a minute who he was, goes to the fighters in the back, you know, as they always have those conversations. And he says, if you're ever in a bad position, I'm going to ask, are you okay? Are you okay? And as long as you respond properly, I'll let you get a little bit more. And Phil Baroni, you know, the New York badass, blah, 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 blah. So he's in the middle of the fight, fighting Evan Tanner. And, you know, he's on the bottom. Evan's on top. He's throwing some whatever. And the referee goes, do you want to quit? Do you want to quit? And Baroni goes, yes, yes. Because he remembered, you know, he's in the middle of a fist fight.
Oh, yeah.
And he was told, I'm going to ask, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah. And so he thought that's what he was saying. And he's, are you okay? Yes. He stopped the fight. A little shoving, a little suspension by Phil Baroni. Wow. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they just reshowed it on UFC Fight Pass not too long
that
ago.
That just reminds me of the Apex a couple months ago, or like maybe 2 months ago, that those two girls had the fight early on in the card, and she tapped, but yeah, acted like she didn't tap.
Right.
At the end.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then the winning fighter, I didn't realize it was that recent that you were not here because we talked about it. She was emotional.
Yeah, she was. She was very upset.
Because she felt like it took away from her victory.
Yeah, she's like, I could have broke your arm, but I let go.
Right.
Because you tapped.
But, you know? And we've talked about it. I've talked about it with Ken Shamrock. I had an incident with a fighter in our local gym, Eric Reynolds, you know, who went on. I think he fought in Bellator and whatever. And there were some situations, and I've argued with Joe Marquis about this, is you don't let go. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Until the ref puts his hands on you,
pulls
you off.
Yeah.
So there was a situation where Eric held on a little long, and I was pissed. You carried our flag into the cage.
Yeah.
That's representing all of us.
Yeah.
Once he puts his hands on, then you stop. So then there was another incident in New York. It was kind of like the Dan Henderson Bisping. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to, but he threw another punch.
Yeah.
And he goes, what'd I do wrong? I go, nothing.
Yeah.
Until you're told to stop. It's open game.
Super necessary.
Yeah.
As Masvidal would say.
I just watched Gone.
Yeah.
Where he was watching clips of the UFC things and then translating it. And that was one of them. Was that punch necessary? Super necessary. And then he just starts laughing, and then he breaks it down into, are you an MMA guy? Are you?
Oh, Masvidal was on Exathlon, the same show that we were just talking about.
Oh, really?
Where they starve us for food and put us through the courses, and he was on that show before he rose to fame.
Oh, that's dope. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that about the food, and they starve you to death. I'll tell you real quick. I find this hilarious. So in the military, you know, different groups, but these happen to be the pilots. So they take these pilots up to Maine, and they make them jump out of a plane, and then they chase them down, and they put them in some really bad situations. I won't go into a whole lot of details, but it's not pretty, because they want to make sure if you get caught that you're not going to break.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the plane, you've got the secrets, you've got all this. So a friend of my son's, they all went to a military academy in St. Pete, is from Korea. So when they catch all of these pilots, They stick them in this room with the lights on 24/7, and they're torturing them. And they bring them this bowl of garbage, and they make every one of these pilots, that's their food. If you don't eat, you're going to starve, right? And if you don't eat, they're going to come in and do more bad things to you.
Yeah.
And just for legal purposes, I'm not going to go into details. So every day they would come in, and the bowls were clear. Hmm. And they're like, I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, because the slop that they were giving all of these military is a Korean delicacy, and they didn't know it. So my son's friend was eating everybody's food to A, save them a beating, and yeah. B,
like, I got
this kid was so full.
Took one for the team.
Exactly. He took it for the team, and he couldn't do the run because he was so fat and just he needed a nap.
I was listening to a military podcast, and they were talking about how if they started like the Navy SEALs and the Marines and some of these programs today, how it wouldn't be allowed because of like the kind of punishment you have to put those guys through to find the best of the best.
Absolutely.
They're like, you know, all the SJWs today, they'll be like, this is unfair to the guys. Yep. But it's like, so you got to go through hard stuff sometimes, like to find the guys who are going to do those things that we as a people get to wash our hands clean of and be like, hey, you know, it's them doing the bad things. But
absolutely.
You know, you have to put guys through things like that. And it's like, I think everybody should go through hard stuff in their life. Whether it's physical, emotional, I think it makes you who you are. It makes you a better person. Like, you need to get a sweat in, do something hard, go through hardship.
I was with you until the sweat. Yeah.
And I've been abused by Randy for 10 years. Like, emotionally, I am traumatized.
You know what you mean? Like, you know, there's sometimes you just feel kind of, you just go get a great workout in, and you're just dead tired, and you just feel so much better afterwards.
Sure.
Like, that stuff is important, man. I think it is.
And don't think there's not such a thing as a code red. Just say.
And I'll tell you this. If you go and train with Mac Roche, like, I pushed myself. He pushed me so hard in competition at his farm that I lost my lunch on the field of play. Did I not?
Yeah, you screwed up.
But I went hard. I went all in. I had to get the victory on the enemy territory. And but anytime you want to train, you want to go up, I'll drive up. I'll pick you up.
I did one of those with Styles G. White. You know, he had that one up in Clearwater. And so you had to do these really hard rows, right? And then you had to run out of his building, run all the way around the building and back. Only he didn't watch us. So we did the rows, and we ran out the building, and then we walked all the way around until we got back to do the rows again.
Yeah, I did them.
Max looking at you like, you lazy.
My freshman year of college, Coach Mora took us to go do Buds in Corona with the SEALs. We did it for 3 days. I've never done anything that hard in my life, but it also let me know that your body will go so much further than you ever would think it would if you just have – one, people around you who are pushing through the same thing. And two, when you're just like, I have no choice. Because like they had that bell in the middle, like, hey, if you get tired, go ring it. You're like, I'm not going to be the guy.
Right.
And so you just keep going and keep going. And like, I'm like, I can't believe I did that. And it was one of the best experiences. At the time, it was awful. But looking back, one of the best experiences of my life I've ever done.
Changing gears just for a second. We'll get one more thing out of the way before Martin Gramatica walks through the door. Rumor has it, Anderson Silva and Paul are going to hook it up.
I tune in.
I will, too.
Oh, yeah. I'll tune in.
Tune in. I'm going.
Where?
I want to go to that.
We?
What's this we?
Well, we're French.
We're not French.
Oh, we are now.
I definitely watch that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
I take Jake Paul for what it is. It's entertainment. You know, I'm not thinking he's going to be some WBC champion or anything like that, but I think it's good entertainment. He fights good dudes.
The beauty is people hate it, but they watch it.
For sure.
People hate it, but they talk about it.
Yeah.
If you hate it, just ignore it. Go away. Kind of like what I'm trying to do with Matt.
And Anderson could be a better boxer than he was an MMA fighter.
That's another stupid
thing. Yeah, there's no way.
Don't discredit
that.
Come on.
That's stupid.
Maybe if you started doing boxing when he started doing MMA, when he was 19 or something like that. But no.
That's like what happened to Sabi Piscitelli. So Sabi Piscitelli, who then went on and, you know, with the WWE, mm-hmm. signs he's drafted and signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what do the media say? What do the fans say? What is everybody saying? It's the next John Lynch.
Yeah.
No. And that hurt him because now when he didn't play like the John Lynch,
the expectations.
Crazy. And yeah. I hate that. I hate that. First of all, Anderson Silva is in the GOAT conversation.
Yes.
So to say his next career is better is stupid.
He's undefeated in boxing since he hangs.
I'm not saying that he won't or can't be a great boxer, but to say he's going to be a better boxer than an MMA fighter is
like you said, he's going to have a great MMA career, then go have like a Muhammad Ali type boxing career. Like that just is not going to happen.
It's Anderson. He can do anything he wants.
I'm not even sure he could be a better boxer than he was in MMA. Seriously. I mean, think about it. It's like saying, which is
he was crazy. So great.
Yeah.
So he was just so great, man.
I mean, what he did to Tito Ortiz, like, he made it look so
weird. Why do you got to piss me off?
I'm not pissing you off. I'm just saying I was there, and I was like, whoa.
You need to be real careful, because Tito has one more thing he needs to do, which is sell one more property in California, and he's moving to Florida.
Okay. Well,
so
I need
he couldn't have said anybody else, but no, it's the Anderson-Tito fight.
I need training partners.
Oh, I would love that.
Iron sharpens iron, Randy Harris.
You know, I speaking of Anderson, I told my friends after the he just fought the Usman fight. I texted you too. Even though it was kind of in like a reverse situation, it reminded me of the Anderson and Chael Sonnen fight, because Anderson was losing the whole fight, getting ground and pound, and then submits him with whatever it is, 15 seconds to go. You know, so it kind of reminded me of that, but in the reverse, because I want Anderson to win that one.
The difference though is one tested positive, and it would have ruined everything.
Yeah.
If Chael would have won that fight, it would have changed the legacy of Anderson Silva. You know, because nobody's going to remember, oh, well, he tested positive. They're going to know that he lost.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a Chael guy. I like Chael a lot. But it would have been devastating if he would have found a way to win that fight and then ruin Anderson Silva's legacy.
Did you hear about the USADA testing?
Yeah. Diaz?
No, not Diaz.
Did you hear about him tested Diaz?
No.
Oh, this is the best ever. Okay. And it's only something that Nate could do. Where are we time-wise? All right, let's hit a break, okay. And then I'm going to tell you what Nate Diaz did to the USADA guy in his living room.
Okay.
It's Nate Diaz. It's Stockton, baby. All right, let's go to a break. Coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is David Bell from the Phillies, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight, and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wes Welker, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, so real quick before we bring Martine in, just to finish the story. So USADA shows up at Nate Diaz's house.
Yeah.
And he can't fill the bag or pee enough. And so he sits in the living room, the USADA guy. There's photos of it while Nate is sitting in front of him smoking weed. And he's like, I'll get to it when I can pee more. I'll pee more. Right now I'm partying.
Yeah.
And there's video of him doing it. Martin Gramatica is stopping by. What's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Do I call you coach? Do I call you?
it's awkward to hear like people that I've known before I coach. When I coach youth soccer, they call me coach. So I'm used to that. But like to have people at the Buccaneers facility call me coach, it's kind of awkward.
It is kind of cool. So we're going to talk about a lot of things, but I have to tell you one of my favorite stories. I've known you a long, long time. So I get to know Caleb his rookie year with the Bucs. And every once in a while, you find a gem, right? So you want to tell the story or you want me to tell it?
You can tell it.
All right. So, you know, Caleb moves here from Nigeria at a very young age. And he says to his mom, you know, Mom, I want to start playing, you know, football. You know, I want to go meet the kids in the neighborhood. Sign me up for football. So they sign him up for football. Coach calls and says, you know, we need shoulder pads. And they're like, what are you talking about? We signed him up for football. Your football,
right?
Not the football.
Diva.
So I went my first day with not enough equipment. So I had the helmet. I just bought the cleats and the socks and everything. And so they explained everything to me. The coach actually went to academy with me and helped me pick out all the things. So it was pretty cool.
That's funny. Well, with your size, you're more fitted to American football 100%. Than that. center back. I wouldn't want to run through you if you were a center back. So.
Exactly. So it was funny. It was fun to start.
Will your team not have enforcers?
Hey, man. You still in shape?
I'm not in shape for that.
Well, you don't need to run much. I just need you in for like a minute or two. Okay. Take care of business, and then we move on.
Get a quick yellow, get out.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
All right. So let's start with the strikers. So there's a press conference, and we've talked about it. I know you've talked about it as well. Steve and I are at the press conference. The owner starts talking, and within 30 seconds, I'm texting. And then I later found out that Kevin O'Donnell is texting. So from there, tell us what happened, how it happened that you're now Coach Gramatica.
Well, it's crazy because it's you sent me the text, and I was in a meeting. So I couldn't really look at it. So I'm like, and then all of a sudden, as I'm reading your text, Kevin calls. And I'm thinking, like, both of you guys put my name in to be the head coach for the Strikers. And I'm like, you guys are out of your mind. First of all, I don't have the time. I coach youth soccer. I've been around soccer my whole life. That's the misconception. People think I'm a football player. Like, if you love soccer and you grow up playing soccer, I'm going to follow it. I watch games. I used to sneak out of the hotel room to go watch my team play because they were playing at 4 a.m. because they were playing in Japan. So that's how much I love my team and my soccer team. So soccer's been in my blood my whole life. But I never thought I'd ever get an opportunity to coach at a professional level because I don't have the time to dedicate it as far as like Premier League, that type of, you know, or MLS type. A friend of mine was going to be head coach of the MLS. He's like, if I get that job, you're coming with me. That was the closest I've ever been to coaching at that level till now. Now, I know it's not MLS, but to bring a professional indoor team to Tampa, where I live, where my family lives, and I don't have to relocate, it was a no-brainer. And then talking to Andrew, because the first meeting, I said, Andrew, look, just let me just be honest with you. I don't know if I have the time. You know, I would love to do it, and especially being a new franchise, but I don't know if I have the time. And then when we met, we're going to be able to figure out the time and the schedule. So I'm excited, man, to be able to coach not only a men's team but a women's team. That's for me more exciting because I've never coached on the females. I've coached my 10-year-old daughter, but at the older age groups, my son's at U19. There's boys, so to be able to coach both the men and women's team, I'm excited for that.
And you already have some signings, correct?
We do. We have four on the female side. I'm working. Thank you. I'm working on the men's side. They're not as proactive as the women. The women, they just want to play, and they're excited. They're calling me. You know, hey, coach, I've heard you got the team, and you signed Bree Betham, who's a USF player, and then Madison Cox, who played college and plays actually on the Puerto Rican national team. So they're all friends that are just spreading the word that are played at a high level. So it's exciting on that side. The men, they got to step up and wake up and start calling. We're going to have tryouts, though. We're going to have tryouts.
This is how much Martin is a soccer guy. So a couple of years ago, my family did a World Cup draft.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a whole big thing, and the first person out had to drink this awful crap that everybody was going to throw in. And, you know, I don't drink, so I'm already scared. So everybody's trying to top everybody else, you know, like in who they're picking and how they're doing it. So I go, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to call Martin, and I'm going to have him do a video of my selection.
Yeah.
The only problem is Martin didn't like my selection and refused.
Hey, man, if it's not Argentinian, I'm sorry.
Okay, I got two questions for you. I know the first one now. Messi or Ronaldo?
Come on now.
I know. It's not even close. I don't know why people still debate it. It's not Messi all the way. Okay.
They're two different type of players.
Agreed.
But Messi has done things that I've never seen anybody do with the ball at their feet.
Exactly.
Where Ronaldo's just a good, big, strong forward and a finisher.
Yes.
Where there's things that Messi, when you look at the highlights, are like, there's no way humanly possible.
Yes, I agree.
Especially with the athleticism of today's defenders.
Yes.
That he should make them look that silly.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
So that's where I'm putting Messi. They're saying, the thing is, some of the guys are saying that Ronaldo's the best in the world. But Messi's
out of this world.
Out of this world.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's above the world. Okay. So he's like an alien.
The second one is more recent now. Mbappe or Haaland? And me and my brother debate this all the time.
They're both excellent players.
Yes.
I like Mbappe because he's proven right now that Haaland will have to see. The German league, yes, it's good, but he was playing on a smaller team without a lot of pressure.
Yes.
You know, because they weren't expected to win a lot.
Yeah.
Now you go to Man City, you're the guy. You're the link that was missing for the Champions League because they needed a number nine. Mm-hmm. So they bring you in as a number nine, you got to be the guy.
Yeah.
Where I think Mbappe, he's proven that he can finish with or without Neymar, with or without Messi, won the World Cup already, so I have to put him a little bit ahead right now, but they're both excellent players.
Yeah, I agree. I lean towards Haaland a little bit. I was Mbappe early on, but I think him taking that jump to a bigger league, and the League One is good,
right.
But I just think PSG is just so far ahead of everybody. And now with Messi and Mbappe, Messi and Neymar with them, it's kind of like almost like a, you know.
Well, the league is a joke to them in a way.
It is.
In a way. With that team, they have to win the league. But they're not – interested in winning the league.
They won Champions League.
If they don't win the Champions League, it's a failure. Look at last year when they don't win the Champions League, they were booing Messi, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, which is crazy. You know,
it's crazy, but that's what they want. They don't care about the league. They've won that league with. They can win that league without Mbappe or without Messi.
100%.
Just with the team they have. But Haaland's going to have some pressure now.
Yes.
Because if he doesn't win the Champions League, Pep needs to win one without Messi as well. So that's a lot of pressure with Man City as well.
He's off to a hot start, though.
I've
been impressed with him. The way he is around the box and just the way he finishes, it's impressive.
And I hadn't followed him much, you know, so I didn't really know much about him. I just heard the great things that people were saying about him. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he's proven that he can do it.
Every game, he scored a goal. It's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty crazy.
So what are the expectations of you and of Andrew? Is Andrew expecting championships?
Well, look, Andrew owns four of the six teams, so the chances are he's going to win, you know. I've never competed or played a sport that I didn't want to win.
Sure.
And if you can ask my 8-year-old kid youth teams, you know, they think I'm crazy. But I said, look, and I understand teaching development, but that word's so overused when it comes to youth sports. We're developing. Developing what? Because I haven't seen a lot of professional soccer players come out of the Tampa Bay area. So I want to develop winners. You know, and when you win, you develop.
Sure.
So I want to teach them. And we learned that from all the coaches that I learned. You know, with Tony Dungy, we learned how to win. We learned how to be great people off the field, but dogs on the field. If you look at, you know, Sab, Brooks, Lynch, I would never want to be their opponent.
Yeah.
Because they'll knock your head off. But as teammates, they were the best teammates you could ever ask for. Mike Allstott, Rondé, these are quality guys off the field. But on the field, it's like you're like a different person. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to teach. That's what I teach my kids. So I want to compete. I want to go win. It's not saying, oh, we're just a franchise team. They have an advantage. We don't have an indoor facility because the teams up north have indoor facilities where they train regularly. We're just going to be outdoors. There's not really any indoor soccer facilities here that we could use right now. We're looking for field space to train, but I don't want to come in second, you know. So we're gonna coach and play to win. So hopefully that's the case.
Those guys are paying in elevation training.
No elevation.
All right. Right. There's no elevation. When it comes to that, you know, we don't even have a team yet. So the other teams have already have, you know, except Orlando. Orlando's the other expansion team. Orlando has a big pool as well, the players to pick from. And so it's going to be very competitive.
How smart was that to put Orlando, you know, with the rivalry, the I-4? You know, we've had it in arena football. We've had it in everything else. How smart was that?
No, it's huge because there are so many great soccer players in Florida. And one of the things that I loved, and this is why I took the job as well when I met with Andrew, is we're not bringing guys in to give them their work visa so then they can play on the team. We're gonna bring.
So this isn't 90 Day Fiancé.
No. These are local kids that are either living locally now that are played at a high level somewhere else or USF. Like the girls that are already signed, most of them have played at USF. They played in some local leagues. One of them was born here, born and raised in Tampa. So one born and raised in Sarasota, played at USF. So that's what I want. That the you know, there's so many kids that play locally that don't have that next step. There's no league for them to play. This is giving an advantage for that.
You can recognize like a talent if you see it, right?
We're having questions from the audience.
I hope so. I mean, that's my job to recognize talent. So yeah, no, that's why we're gonna start going to all these adult leagues that are you know, because a lot of these kids that just finished college, they don't have anywhere else to play. Yeah, so but are very talented players. So they play in the local leagues. There's a lot of, they call it five-a-side, you know, smaller-sided on the turf, that those kids can be excellent players. And definitely I feel like we're going to be able to sign a lot of those guys.
You're starting to see a lot more United States players move on to the bigger clubs in Europe, even at a younger age, and kind of have success, like Pulisic and I forget his name, and Juventus. It's skipping my mind right now. But anyway, like, do you ever see this team kind of having that kind of pull and having guys that you see develop? And how young are kids you'll be able to bring onto the team? Can you go as young as 16 and 15 and have kids like that who are talented and maybe get them seen by the bigger clubs?
Absolutely. I think this will eventually, as the league grows, right now we're at 16. The goal is to have it to 12 to 15. So I think eventually it will. And the thing is, we have an academy contract. Yeah. So for the players that sign those contracts, their eligibility is not ruined as well. So if they wanted to play college soccer, they still had that opportunity. So we can sign. I'm not sure 100% how many young kids we can under 18, but I know there's a couple that we can sign. And I'm going to take full advantage of that because there's so many young players that can play.
I don't think people realize how big indoor soccer is in other countries and how many talented superstars, Ronaldinho, Henry, played a lot of indoor soccer. And that was a lot of them that have been their first look into getting onto their local clubs.
You see why I'm so glad he's back?
Because you wouldn't have been able to say anything about
any
soccer.
Of that. No.
Well, I have a soccer question. I just haven't had a chance to talk yet. I just want to know what's in the can, because I've seen players go down and literally dead on the field. They spray them with that. And why don't all sports use whatever's in that
can?
Well,
baseball used to use it.
That's fine. It's a magic sauce. Well, a lot of time, those are strategic fouls where when you get fouled, you dive, you flop, and people hate that. The casual American fan, they flop too much. But it's part of the game. Because if I'm winning, I have to make sure I waste a little time. Mm-hmm. Indoor soccer, I don't think it's going to matter because it's so high, fast pace and so high scoring that you're not going to be able to waste time like the big field, or you kick it out of bounds. I tell my defenders, look, I want to play out of the back. Everybody talks about playing out of the back. Playing out of the back, you can play out of the back when you have, you know, Dani Alves as your right back, that he knows what to do with the ball. Yeah. Now, when you have an 8-year-old, you want to teach him, but there's times that when they feel the pressure, it's okay to clear it. Mm-hmm. The 86 World Cup that Argentina won, the coach said, we're going to play. But we have great forwards. So if we feel the pressure defensively, kick it to them. Let them figure it out.
Yeah.
So why put all that pressure? And that's one thing. I don't know if you watched the national team, the American national team, where they do a great job playing out of the back against Jamaica, Trinidad. Mm-hmm. But let's wait to see if they can do it against England, Brazil.
It's different.
It's people a different.
Great strikers and great forward and high pressure. High upfield pressure.
Yeah. Right. One mistake. And then that's it. The game's over. You're not going to score a lot of goals against those teams.
No.
So that's why I feel like as a coach, you have to have an open mind that, yes, this is what my system I want it to be. Mm-hmm. But I need to have flexibility that if I'm playing an opponent that's better than me, sometimes you just got to sit back, defend, and play that counterattack.
Yeah.
So, but that's part of the game where you flop, you waste a little time, especially if you're that team that shouldn't be winning. And you get that lucky goal,
right.
Now you're going to want that game to be over as soon as possible.
And hey, look at football.
That's where LeBron learned it.
LeBron, basketball players flop all the time to get fouls and get to the free throw line and get more points. Football, coaches tell you, hey, we need a time stop. It's under before the 2-minute warning. We need a time stop. If you get hurt,
go down.
Quit a cramp, go down. We'll stop the clock. We'll take the 10-second run off because we're going to lose 30 seconds if you know otherwise. So it's in every sport. You know, people just want to hate.
How difficult do you anticipate the selling of the team, selling indoor soccer? It's been quite a few years since indoor soccer has been in the Tampa Bay area.
We've had great reception right now from the fans, the media. So it's you know, they're talking about it. And I feel like being at USF at the Yingling Center, that's going to help because the students, the tickets are affordable. So it's not like, you know, going to an NFL game. So you can afford it. And we're making it where we're not going to partner up with one local club. You know, a lot of times that's a mistake where a professional team comes in and they want to partner up with a local club. Now you upset the rest of them.
Sure.
So what we're doing is we're going to create an advisory committee with one coach or a director from each local club, and I've already met with a bunch of them. They're excited about that, and we're going to take their advice because nobody knows the players better than the local coaches. So I've already talked to Denise Brown, the head coach at USF for the women's. I've reached out to UT's men's coach. I know him well, so I'm reaching out, and then some of the higher up age groups. You know, TBU had a really good 2000 or 99 2000, I think it was, where they won the national championship. Those kids are now in their 20s that they're either coming back from college or still in college, so they can come in and play. So I feel like it's going to be a fun, especially for the fan like you, Randy, that not a soccer fan. You're going to see a lot of scoring and a lot of excitement. You're not going to sit through a 90-minute game of a 0-0 game.
Right, yeah.
That's not going to happen. So you're going to enjoy that part of it.
All right. So I know you've done a lot of things. I know that you're Automatica, Grammatica. I get all that. But walk me through walking to the mound the other day and throwing out that first pitch, which wasn't a bad throw, by the way.
Thank you. I warmed up the day before. I had to borrow a baseball from a neighbor because we couldn't find one in my house. And my kids played baseball when they were little, but I don't know where the balls are gone. So I threw a little bit just to make sure. But I think, and a lot of people say, I don't know if you saw that, I juggled the soccer ball and I kicked it over the net. Uh-huh. I figured I was going in as a representative of the striker, so I figured I'd throw a little soccer in there. I think that calmed me down because now I was more worried about missing the juggle, because imagine trying to juggle the ball five times and you miss hit it, then you make a fool of yourself. So then when I kicked over the net, I think it relaxed me. And if it would have been a left-handed batter, I probably would have killed him because it was a little outside. But I
saw the speed. You wouldn't have killed him.
Hey, listen, that was a fastball in my eyes. they didn't put the gun on it.
Okay.
I would have hit him. Okay, he would have been in, okay. He would have had a free base. But I just wanted to make sure I got it to the catcher. And I said I requested a big catcher.
Yeah.
I said, because we're looking at, you know, the catcher warming up. I said, man, that guy looks small. Right. And they brought out a 6'8" guy.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm like, all right, I'm good. If I miss this guy, I shouldn't be on the field ever again.
How nice is it that, and we would expect the Buccaneers to reach out because of your relationship, but to have the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, reach out to the strikers and you to come out and do that?
No, it's cool. I mean, I've been in Tampa since 99. I've never thrown a first pitch. So they recognize that the strikers, you know, are a team that's going to be here. It's going to be here to stay, and I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun to do. It was fun to have my wife and kids there. You know, Santiago and his wife and kids came, so it was cool to do it as a family. And they got a nice little race jersey, so it's an awesome experience.
I brought up to Andrew when he came out and he was on the show. I know we only have a couple minutes, but I kind of had to ask him why the strikers. You know, I don't know if you know the relationship of the strikers and the rowdies, so it was kind of weird, but he did come up with some reasoning for it. And I never asked.
And all,
you're just the head coach.
My only answer is the team was named before I took the job. So rowdy fans, don't hate me. Listen, at the end of the day, it's just a name. I understand the rivalry with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. We're not the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. We're the Tampa Bay Strikers. So, and it's a lightning bolt. You know, because anytime like I see social media, it's a lightning strike.
Right.
So
yeah, which is what he said.
Right. So it's not, and we get a lot of lightning here in Tampa.
I liked it, the fact that they took the striker's name. That's the way I'm looking at it. We hated Fort Lauderdale Strikers so much, we took their name, and now we're the Tampa.
They got to come get it, right?
Right.
They got to come get it.
they definitely have to come and get it. When we come back after the top of the hour, I want to talk about some of the other things that you got going on. You're now a commentator. I think I had something to do with that, just a little.
No, you had something to do with Striker. Don't take credit for everything. This guy's trying to take credit for my whole career.
Well, hold on. I mean, I remember your rookie year. I remember you were on the show often.
Oh, yeah, so, well, Mark Roy. I'm trying to get free food.
Okay.
As a rookie, you want free food, man.
I got free food for you.
How much time we got? All right, we got 3 minutes so we can talk about it. So
Mark Royals?
I've been told about free food. So I've been told by arguably, in my opinion, the greatest Buccaneer of all time, that when rookies, and Caleb and I have talked about when you miss your rookie stuff, I've been told by 99 that you were off limits, you were untouchable, that if you forgot stuff.
He saved my life. 99 saved my life. So, you know, as a rookie, you were supposed to buy breakfast for the whole team. Mm-hmm. And you weren't at all $1. You were at the new facility?
Yeah, I was at the new
right. One. Well, the old $1 was a hallway. It was catered in, so there was no cafeteria.
Yeah.
We ate in our locker, so we went, got our plastic plate, and ate in our locker. That's what it was. So the guys
But Jose did good food.
No, the food was amazing. I'm not complaining about the food. It's just the amenities weren't great. But the guys were like, hey, listen, we get Jose every day, so let's change it up. So I'm like, all right, I'll change it up. What do? I go to, hey, Jose, bring breakfast, but make it look different. Yeah. And come early so they don't know it's you. nothing against you, but the guys want something different.
Yeah.
All right, no problem. Apparently, a couple of the old linemen were there earlier than I was, and at the same time, Jose was there.
Yeah.
So they weren't happy, man. They were looking for me. So I show up thinking everything's good, and they're like, and then somebody, I don't know if it was Mark, is like, hey, the old line's looking for you. They want to kill you. They're not happy with breakfast. Breakfast is good, but now they told you not to get Jose, and you got Jose. I'm like, oh, man, now I'm hiding. So my locker, that was my, you know, cafeteria, everything, I'm hiding behind the clothes. I'm like, I don't want to come out. And then Sapp comes on and said, hey, I hear you guys are looking for my kicker. Nobody touches my kicker. You guys leave him alone, blah, blah, blah. So then I'm like, all right, I'm good to come out. So he saved my life. Can you imagine, like, old lineman being hungry?
Yeah.
Not a good combination.
Yeah.
Not a good combination,
they
is it?
To me before.
Right. Well, a kicker, you know, you're big and you could probably fight.
Defend yourself.
I would have lost that one.
So. Legendary story. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go as we continue with Coach Grammatica when we return after the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.